It's the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12:05 to 1:30 p.m. or thereabouts. And in the studio, we have Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets, Augie, the Contrarian, Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, from SeekingCryptos.com and TradingView.com. And standing by, before we introduce you, I just want to remind you, coming up this afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon, and our next guest will be our special guest there at the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, and that would be Joseph Gehrman. He is the Chief Executive Officer at J Squared Invest, LLC. He recently joined forces with his partner to provide companies with consultation, implementation, and execution in relation to blockchain technology. They offer investor services into cryptocurrency. He has worked on other aspects in the business world, too, as well as politics. And he is going to talk to us about passive income through mining and owning masternodes and all kinds of things that he's qualified to tell you about, and us not so much. So let us welcome him now, Joseph Gehrman. Hi, thanks for joining by and staying patient while we get the bugs worked out.
Hey, Henry, thanks for having me on. I'm really honored to be a part of your show.
All right, well, thank you. So are you hearing a little bit better now that you're coming through our audio board?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot better for some reason.
Okay.
It's barely here.
Yeah, when you're dealing with the high technology of WWPR, sometimes it's an adjustment curve, but you'll get the hang of this here any second.
So we're talking currencies. These would be seashells.
Yeah, somebody's right. Got to hold that string on the tin can tight, or you're not going to hear it as well.
Oh, jeez.
So,
nice.
All right. So J Squared Investment LLC. And the website is jsquared.io?
Correct. That is right. We just got that up and running a few weeks ago.
Okay. So what is it?
Okay. So basically what we are trying to solve is kind of like there is no, in my opinion, for the average consumer, there's no one-stop shop for consumers to go to, especially people who may want to embrace the idea of cryptocurrency or take the advantage of many of the, like we're going to talk about later today, like the passive income opportunities through crypto, but they don't want to deal with it through crypto. So we've actually seen some people try to deal with this problem of getting people onto passive income, which are proof of stake systems through cryptocurrency. So I saw an ICO that's going to launch, that's going to try to pay people out in dividends from staking and masternodes. But you're kind of missing the whole problem that J Squared is trying to solve, which is that you got a lot of people out there who have no interest in diving deep into cryptocurrency, transferring Bitcoin around or transferring these other currencies around. They just want to deal in cash, i.e. pay you in cash, and then i.e. get paid out in cash. They have no, there's a very large segment of the population that has no interest in actually dealing with the intricacies of cryptocurrency. So what we're trying to do is make that very easy for those people to get involved and kind of get their feet in the water, if you will. And I feel like, you know, how do you get someone to learn a new language? How do you motivate people to learn something new and complex like cryptocurrency? Because most people will tell you it's complex. And I believe that you have to look at motivating factors. And one of those motivating factors that I found to be very highly feasible to people is making money. And if you can show people that they can make money off of this, well, all of a sudden they're going to start paying attention and learning how they're making money. And maybe they'll want to do it themselves to cut down on fees. So that's what we're trying to do here.
Okay. Let me just sort of restate what you just said. In other words, sure. You're aiming at the person that is used to making a deposit in TD Ameritrade or Merrill Lynch and either putting it in a mutual fund, letting somebody manage it that way, or at the very most, that they personally oversee their investments, but it's a simple process, something you just say I want to buy, say I want to sell. You don't have to have a whole lot of technical knowledge to make an investment on these financial services companies. So you eliminate all the technical issues that people that are unfamiliar with cryptocurrencies may have.
Yeah, absolutely. And we mitigate a lot of their risks. Now, of course, we face the same issues as anyone else in crypto, protecting private keys, doing backups, all that kind of stuff. But we take that out of the consumers' hands that they don't have to worry about that. We make it kind of like a worry-free issue for them.
Okay, so we've got a lot of time to explore that, but let me just back up a little bit. Why are you an expert? How did you become involved in all this? Nobody has been in this a decade yet, so nobody is really an old-timer. But how long have you been involved?
He stayed at a Holiday Inn, Henry. That's what he did.
Yeah, Holiday Inn Express.
Right.
You may be closer to the truth.
I think I was at that party, Joseph.
Right. Listen, I don't purport myself to be an expert. What I do say is I'm a learner, and I think that that's my advantage, is that we, especially all the people at J Square, we never stop learning, because the second you go ahead and say you're an expert, you start to drown out other noise, and we want to hear all the noise. We want to hear all the feedback. We watch YouTube videos. We read Reddit. We stay active on the forums, and we never want to get too ahead of ourselves. So we have had a model of success. Like, we've been doing this for a few months now. We start off with, a little investment fund, and we start off somewhere around $20,000, and within over $200,000. Everyone that's handling our investments in the company has all maintained and this is the requisite for anyone that's handling investments. You had to make 10,000% return on investment or more in 2017, through cryptocurrency. And so that's all the individuals handling it. So we're not, I'm not going to go ahead and say that we're experts, and, I would question anyone who says they have a crystal ball and always sells at tops and buys at bottoms. We don't purport to be those people, but what we do is we game plan and we strategize. A lot of people, when you talk to them about cryptocurrency, they'll be like, okay, I'm going to buy this one. Well, why are you going to buy it? Because I feel like it's going to go up. Okay. And then why are you going to sell it? Oh, because I feel like it's going to go down. Well, we don't operate on feeling. We operate on the facts. We operate on the technicals, and we look at fundamentals and do research on events that are going to come up that will affect that cryptocurrency and how we raise them.
So, but you personally, how long have you been involved in cryptocurrency?
So that's a good question. It's now been a year's time. This is actually this month, February, will be my one-year anniversary round trip. Before crypto, I was trading stocks when I should have been paying attention in class.
Okay. Well, and if you got in February, you actually made most of the run this year, past year, in the high returns. So, Joseph, is there a compliance issue with this? Because you are offering an investment service. What do you face in that area?
So the compliance area, we've definitely reached out to friends at the SEC. We've called the FTC, CFTC. Sorry, spoken to attorneys over there, and there's a lot of gray area. So what we're looking to do is work with our friends in legal and also stay as, I guess the terminology would be, good actors, complying with AML, complying with KYC, the AML anti-money laundering law, and KYC, know your customer laws, and pay our taxes, be transparent. If anyone asks for any documentation, we're going to give that. We're not, some of these coins, the whole point of the coin is to stay secret from anyone and everyone, and that's not the point of our company. We are trying to be a legitimate. We feel like the cryptocurrency space needs legitimacy and transparent companies to operate and help manage these services, and that's what we're trying to be. So, any type of compliance issues that come up, as far as what we need to do, we will do it to make sure that we're in compliance.
Well, let me say something to that, and Henry, I go back with Joseph, multiple weeks, and actually I met him a few months ago, and he is one of the sharpest guys I know, and very sharp guy, and he was very organized, and I was very impressed with how he, if you wanted to invest into a mining rig or something like that, how organized he was, and actually we are talking about that today, so. Later on, after the meeting, but I think what Joseph
I have
is,
stuff I want to talk to him about after the meeting.
I'm sure you do, and when you see the returns, you'll really want to talk to him. But I think what Joseph offers is for a guy like me. I turn my computer on. I go on the that's about it. I go to that extent. I could never set up a mining rig, but I'd like to have some exposure to that area, so I could come and I could go, Joseph, here. This is. I want to buy a rig, and I want you to go ahead and handle all the intricacies of it, maintain it, and do everything. And that's what he does, and his fees are very, very reasonable.
Okay. right, and we're going to get into all that. Let me just come back to one thing here. Do you have a screening process for your clients? Is there a minimum net worth or a minimum investment?
Yeah, so we have a screening program that we do have a compliance officer. She's done a great job in researching that she manages, and then I kind of give her, like, I approved her program. I don't remember it by heart, but we kind of filter all the people through her, and we check, as well as we also check people against, like, sanctions lists and stuff like that to make sure, again, that would be more on the AML side, that we're not dealing with any bad actors that shouldn't be with us. But most of the people that we do business with are people that we know, or if we don't know them, we get to know them very quickly to get comfortable with them, and we collect, you know, everything about their employment background, where the money's coming from, everything. So we do all that. As far as minimums go, we do have, like, we offer two investment opportunities, which is one through our Masternode program. When you get the either biweekly or monthly payouts, you can choose to reinvest some of that into an investment portfolio. But if you actually want us to manage your portfolio itself, we did increase our minimum just because we didn't have a minimum before, but we saw that there were a lot of problems with that and realized why people have minimums. So we did put a minimum of $100,000 on that.
To invest in the managed portfolio.
Right. That would be like kind of like the white glove service, if you would. Right.
And then,
so it would be like people managing that 24/7, like even at 3 or 4 a.m., you know, if there's a trade opportunity, we're going to make it.
And then to invest in the mining aspect, that has a lower minimum.
Right. That's just, as far as the mining goes, that's more of your preference of how much you're willing to pay to get either, like Andy said, you know, the mining rig or for Masternode. You know, there's masternodes like Dash that cost you, it'll cost you over $600,000. And then there's some masternodes that you can even buy for a few hundred. It all depends on how much you're willing to spend, what return you want to make, and how stable that is, really.
Okay. I'm going off of just a little bit of a tangent, but I'm coming back into the managed, your managed portfolio. Are you familiar with the cryptocurrency Iconomy, Iconomy? Anyway, the reason I ask is, although it's a cryptocurrency, their product that you can buy with their cryptocurrency, although it trades on exchanges too, is called digital asset arrays, which they have about 10 different managed portfolios of different cryptocurrencies within those DAAs.
Right.
I take it you haven't seen them before?
No, I haven't seen them, but... Yeah, again, if it's a solution through cryptocurrency, you're going to miss a large portion of the public that don't want to touch it.
Right. Okay.
And that's what we're trying to capture.
Yeah, they're based in Europe. I was just wondering but it sounded like they're targeting the same kind of audience or client base that you are, in that they are managing a basket of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So now, can you tell us? Are you at liberty to tell us what some of the potential basket of cryptocurrencies a new investor might get invested into?
Sure. I mean, that's absolutely fine. You know, we don't want to keep anything secret, transparency, obviously. We won't give constant updates. But so some tokens we are looking at, for example, is Wabi, W-A-B-I. And so what Wabi tries to do is they use RFID technology on pharmaceuticals to see if they're truthful or not, to see if they're real. So what that means is the technology was developed in China. And in a few years back, there was a massive scandal. They have a very big problem with, baby formula milk over there. And a lot of babies died. Thousands were hospitalized, or thousands or hundreds. It was an awful situation. It was all over China. And what this issue is trying to do is fix issues like that from ever happening again. So what you have is they actually have a real company. It's already been established, you know. Unlike some of these companies, they're just white papers, and you give them $100 million, and then they'll come out with a company. This is already a company that exists that have been working on this issue, trying to use the transparency that blockchain provides. And they embed an RFID chip onto the products that you're going to get. you pull out their app, and within 2 seconds, you'll know if it's authentic, what it's supposed to look like, where the product has been, and everything about that product. So now your question is, well, what stops someone from taking that chip and putting it onto a counterfeit product? Well, if you try to move the chip, there are antennas, and the antennas snap. They're delicate enough to where when you put them on for the first time, it'll be put on fine. But when you try to take them off, the antennas will break, and then when you try to scan it with the app, it won't go through, which will indicate to the consumer this is a counterfeit product. How big is the market, you might ask? It's a $460 billion market for false pharmaceuticals, which is insane. So that just goes ahead and shows you the potential of this app and this coin. Wabi is only worth, I think, like around $150 million market cap, trying to solve a $460 billion issue, and it's selling for roughly $1.50 a share or a crypto. So that's definitely a big one that we're looking at. And then there's another one, which is ICX, is the ticker, which stands for Icon. And they are a cryptocurrency based out of South Korea. One of the reasons why I really like them is because the South Koreans love cryptocurrency. If you look at the coin market cap and you look at a lot of their exchanges, almost every single cryptocurrency goes for an extra premium. In the West, in America and Europe, Bitcoin never hit 20,000. It almost did. But in South Korea, it was trading well over 20,000 back at the all-time high. So that just goes to show their fervent, love for cryptocurrency. And I heard, I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard that cryptocurrency markets in South Korea have 3 times the amount of volume than their traditional stock markets. So that just tells you that the people are all about cryptocurrency. So there's a lot of love over there for crypto, and they're being called the Ethereum of South Korea, and they're going to be using hyper-connectivity to connect businesses, hospitals, everything that you can imagine together through the use of their token and smart contracts. So that's just an all-out platform. It would take me hours to kind of go over that one. So I'm really excited about those two. If you want some more, I can definitely go into
that. Well, let me remind people that we're speaking with Joseph Gehrman. He is the CEO of J Squared Invest LLC, and the website is jsquared.io, so the letter J and then the word squared spelled out, .io. Again, Joseph Gehrman, CEO. So I guess then one of the things that I wasn't sure about, and by the way, you can get all the contact information on that website and get involved, so you're not just managing a basket of Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash and Dash trying to get the best mix of that for your clients. You're actually managing like a venture capital kind of aspect of all this. Is that correct?
Similar, yeah, because we feel like there's a lot more money to be made in the altcoins for sure. Now, there's a lot more money to be lost there as well. I don't want to make people think that, oh, let me turn my head away from Bitcoin. Like, you are taking a substantially larger risk, and people need to understand that when you go into the altcoins.
Okay. Well, we have someone in the studio right here, Alex Solis, who is a evangelist for altcoins against the more conservative Andy here sometimes, if you were privy to our chat group. Alex, what's your thoughts about listening to Joseph here? And you'll be at the meetup, right, Alex?
I will be.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay, so you guys will get a chance to actually meet. So what do you think?
Yeah, I really like what he does. I mean, the 100,000 minimum, I wish I'd get in, but yeah, man, I really like what you do, man. Seems like you're very focused, and I help a lot of people too, but I do it a different way. I'm not really the investing side. I'm more like the sending money, transferring, all that stuff. The investing side is very dangerous, but if you got it, you got it, man.
So have you heard of the two currencies that you had mentioned?
Yeah. I really like Wabi. I've been love. Wabi's on my list to buy, actually. So I really love Wabi. Icon, I really don't believe in it. I'm not saying you're wrong or at all, because, nobody's wrong or right here. This is all predictions and all that, opinions. But I wouldn't, and I would definitely get into Wabi. Wabi's huge. The VeChain does the same thing, almost, and I really like VeChain, too.
So let's reverse it to Zift. What do you think of VeChain?
VeChain, I like them for one reason. Masternodes. They will be having masternodes from what I've read. And another interesting point is that Wabi will be having masternodes as well. I addition to VeChain, I like to talk about cryptos when I really go through their white papers. That's one I haven't gone through yet. It has been mentioned a lot, and usually this is the way I kind of look at things. In my opinion, I missed the boat on VeChain. And so I'm not going to go ahead and tackle it because I feel like there are other cryptos I can uncover. When I start to hear hundreds to thousands of people all mentioning the same cryptocurrency, in my opinion, that kind of tells me
the
boat was kind of missed. Yeah, exactly. You're trying to get in, like, to be the smart money and to be the smart investor. You're trying to get in on cryptos before anyone's talking about it. And just to tell you a little bit about ICX, not talking about it specifically, but when it dropped, the day it dropped after ICO onto Binance is when I got it. And I loved getting it because I read about it and I knew nobody was talking about it. And now ICX, if you talk to people in altcoins, they've heard of ICX. And I had it, I got it around $2, which is a steal. Even at the current price, it's still over $4. So I've already, I'm up 100%, but it rose as high as $10. And I was doing very well. And I actually cashed out a bunch at the all-time highs on a lot of my alt positions. Not at the top again. I don't call tops, but I felt like the market was getting a little bit greedy, so I thought it would be safe to start pulling out.
All right. We're speaking with Joseph Gehrman, CEO of J Squared Invest LLC, the website jsquared.io. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll try and get into sorting through some of these mining terminology and issues and that aspect of his business. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to bitefederal.com to find a location for you. That's bitefederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And, of course, if you miss the show, the archive is available on multiple podcast platforms. The biggest archive is at henryrainshow.podomatic.com, but just Google the show and you'll find the probably the podcast platform of your choice, iTunes or whatever it is that you want to listen to it on. We have in the studio Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets, Augie the Contrarian. We have Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, co-founder SeekingCryptos.com, and highly followed TradingView.com columnist, and on the phone lines, who will be joining us this afternoon at the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup at Mocha Joe's on Cortez Road. That's 3:30 p.m. to 5, And we're expecting a really big crowd this time, the highest number of RSVPs first, and they're almost all first-timers because people show up and then they think, I've come. I don't need to RSVP anymore. So
I'm worried we're gonna fill out today.
Yeah, we're just going to have to shove those paying customers out on the sidewalk.
That's right.
So, and just floating an idea out here, stream of consciousness verbalizing before we go back to our guest, maybe we'll have to talk to the Mocha Joe's people and see if they want to do an evening after closing.
Absolutely, we could do that, and then we have the whole restaurant to themselves and make
people
some coffee.
People might actually buy some dinner then.
Get some pastries and be done, yeah.
On the line with us is Joseph Gehrman. He is the CEO of J-Squared Invest, LLC. The website is jsquared.io. They have a number of services that if you're interested in being invested in the cryptocurrency space, that they can offer you. He was talking about the managed portfolio of cryptocurrencies in his first segment here, but we said we were going to want to get into the mining aspect of this. So, Joseph, before we get into what you do in your company, explain to us what the mining means to cryptocurrency. Speak to someone who probably just has only heard the term, doesn't really know what it is, and then explain why there's proof of work and proof of stake.
Right. So, let's try. It is a complex issue, but we try to break it down simply. So the way you got to think about it is Bitcoin and all these other coins are trying to challenge the financial institutions. So think about Bank of America and Wells Fargo. They have their own systems and employees that help process transactions, right? So how does Bitcoin seek to do the same thing but without all the necessary systems that they run and all the employees? Like, there is no Bitcoin corporation pushing transactions, no Ethereum, you know, corporation pushing these things. So how are they running? And the process by which these transactions are made and validated and approved is through a process called mining. So what is mining? Mining is just the mere approving of those transactions, and then also it does have to deal with the security of the network. So then it's like, is there just one type of mining? So no, there's many different types of mining out there, but the two most prevalent are proof of work and proof of stake. Now most people are like, you know, they don't absorb those terminologies, but you just got to focus on the wording. So proof of work literally just means that you're going to have to do a lot of work over here. And so what this means is that you're, as a miner in a proof of work system, which is most popular with Bitcoin, and even Ethereum uses proof of work, is you as a miner are taking a transaction hash, so like a bunch of random numbers from a previous or the new block, the next block, and you're trying to connect it with something called a nonce. Now, I know these are like, wait 2 seconds. Basically, what you're trying to do is fit two puzzle pieces together and see if they connect. If they connect, then you as a miner have mined that block. You will get rewarded the block reward. I'm not sure what the block reward is for Bitcoin because it halves every so on years or so on block height. So you will get a certain amount of Bitcoin, though, if you mine that block. So basically, the reason why you get a certain amount of Bitcoin is because why would you have your computer do this really harsh task with no incentive? So they have to give you some sort of incentive, and that is getting that block reward. And so that's what proof of work is. It's basically trying to put two puzzle pieces together over and over and over. I mean, these things are done millions and even sometimes billions of times to get the right puzzle pieces to connect. If it does not connect, you get no reward. So basically all these people are competing with each other with their hashing power to connect those two pieces together. So that's why you hear a lot about the electrical usage of Bitcoin is because it's a massively hard system to go ahead and, approve a transaction to the next block. So proof of stake is a lot less legwork. The reason being is because in a proof of stake system, again, it's in the terminology. You have to have a stake. And so this goes back to the terminology. For proof of work, if I wanted to mine Bitcoin, I don't have to own any Bitcoin. So what's to give me a negative incentive from attacking the network? There is none. Of course, like, the coin is going to lose value, but if I don't own any Bitcoin and I'm able to steal, let's just say, 1,000 Bitcoins, why do I care if the price of Bitcoin goes up or down? If it goes down because I stole it, well, I didn't own any, so it doesn't matter. But in a proof of stake system, it discourages you from being a bad actor because you have to own a stake in order to qualify. So you can do something called staking, or you can run masternodes. Now, not every proof of stake system has masternodes, but every masternode has to run on a proof of stake. And so what a masternode is a minimum requirement of a certain amount of coins you need to have to qualify as a masternode. So, for example, on Dash, you have to own 1,000 Dash to be a masternode.
Which
so
would
what's your distance?
Be, what, about 600,000?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So you have to own 600,000 Dash to start approving blocks onto the blockchain. So now if you try to steal that $600,000 that you just spent, you're going to devalue that heavily. You have a very heavy incentive not to go ahead and act as a bad actor. Now, here's another good point about proof of stake.
But before you go further, Joseph, would in making a fork happen in the blockchain, would that be considered a bad actor?
So forking the blockchain, there are friendly forks and then hostile forks. And you can see that with, like, no one can stop anyone from forking blockchain because it's all open source. If you didn't have the source code out there, you wouldn't be able to do it. And you saw that happen with Bitcoin Cash. There was a, you know, you saw the volatility, the kind of hatred, the going back around.
Well, I don't want to take us into the weeds on that. I just wanted to find out, does the proof of stake, does that discourage someone from forking?
It doesn't discourage people from forking, but a bad actor would be someone who's trying to put a block on the blockchain that isn't true. So, for example, saying that Henry sent me 10 Ethereum when you actually never did. But because I control most of the hashing power, I decide what's true, not other nodes. So that's the danger of a bad actor.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. Please continue then.
No, you're fine. So, like I was saying with Dash, obviously you're much less likely to try to harm the system if you have a $500,000 or $600,000 investment. And so that's one way that you kind of disincentivize it. Now, here's the other advantage that proof of stake has over proof of work. With proof of work, you can buy, to get the hashing power and get the return that you want, you can buy as many ASICs as you want. Now, with proof of stake, you have to actually own that coin in order to make that same block reward to make that return. So now all of a sudden, you're not able to buy as much hardware as you want. You've got to deal with the open market and other buyers and consumers. And also, because you're trying to get more money through masternodes or staking, you have to buy a lot more coins. That's going to benefit everyone in the ecosystem. If I want to get an economic advantage on mining Bitcoin, I buy, let's just say, 1,000 ASICs. That doesn't impact the price up or down for Bitcoin. So you're not, you as a holder of Bitcoin are not making any money off of that. But if you're a holder of Dash, and now I got to buy Dash to make a masternode, now all of a sudden your holdings go up. So there's an economic benefit in that fashion as well. And then environmentally, a lot less electricity used, so makes everyone who's worried about Bitcoin mining power, that worry kind of goes away. And that's all these reasons I'm outlining is a big reason why Ethereum, which was proof of work, is moving to proof of stake. It's a lot more efficient.
Now, question on the proof of stake, and this is the other side of the coin, so to speak, is that if proof of stake, you're catching the actor, the bad actor, after the fact, where proof of works, you catch it in the transaction. Is that correct? Let's say someone was a bad actor, and they said, Henry sent me, and they cashed it out, and you blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Proof of, like, the main thing that we're talking about with a bad actor is really someone getting, you wouldn't be able to, individually go rogue. You would have to own, 51% of the hashing power. But there are people who try to take over the Bitcoin network, and not as many people are trying to take over proof of stake networks because they're much harder to control. Because you can't buy cryptocurrency the way that you can buy ASICs. You can buy unlimited amount of ASICs, and they're fixed
and
cost.
Just for people that aren't familiar, ASIC is the?
It's a mining rig.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. An ASIC is a very efficient mining rig, which is why they're made specifically for mining, and that's why a lot of coins, you'll start to see the terminology ASIC resistant. because they don't want people to utilize ASICs. But then even the people who are making ASICs are now going to be able to get away with being ASIC, like they're going to bypass the systems that are ASIC resistant. Because those manufacturers, they're trying to sell off ASICs, right? So they don't like ASIC resistance. So they're fighting those people. Kind of a cluster, which is why we like proof of stake better.
So before we run out of time, let's bring it back to the listener out there that is listening and say, man, that Joseph guy, Andy's right. He really knows his stuff. And I want to get in on the mining aspect. I don't have the $100,000 to get in the managed portfolio, but maybe I can do this. So speak to that person out there. How do they get involved? They contact you, obviously, at jsquared.io. But,
right.
And you said there's all different levels of investment. So say somebody has $5,000 and they want to get into mining. What becomes involved then?
So for $5,000, we usually try – right now we're focusing on masternodes because they're a lot higher return than the just regular miners. And we will be getting into that in the summer. But for $5,000, we can look somewhere around, $20 to $50 a day. And that, basically almost $1,000 a month, a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. And that's the kind of return that we're looking for at that price valuation. So
say that
you
again,
would just contact
please.
Us.
Would you give us the numbers again, please? I was thinking about my own self-interest while you were talking. I wasn't paying attention to the numbers.
You're good. So we're looking at somewhere around conservatively $20 a day, and as high, if we can push as high as we want, around $50 a day. And we're looking at somewhere a little bit less or a little bit above $1,000 a month. What we're trying to achieve.
Andy, you're
going
to have to fight me to the front of the line to talk to Joseph.
he's sitting at the VIP table, by the way. I had to move you from.
Where am I sitting?
Yeah, you had to, you're back in the employee break room.
Hey, I'll be at Mocha Joe's later, so I'll be available to talk to you.
All right. If you want to know more, we will have Joseph back on the radio show, but you really need to come to the meetup right now so you can get in on this before Andy and I do, and maybe Augie and Alex too. But you can find out more by checking out Joseph's company, jsquaredinvest.llc. You'll see the whole team there when you look at the compliance officer. Augie wants to get in on this too, but let me finish giving the website out, jsquared.io. So J, the word spelled out, squared, J, the letter, squared, .io. Augie, go ahead, please.
Is $5,000 the minimum starting point for you?
No, you don't have to have $5,000, but just understand, some people try to push it, and these are cryptocurrencies. They're subject to the same risk as everything else. They can go up or down, and that's what people have to understand. These are not fixed guaranteed prices.
So what he's saying, Augie, is if you have $5,000, you're not getting a more stable coin. You're getting something that's coming out, and if it works, I mean, it's a home run.
More speculation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to find out more at the meetup. That's at 3:30. Joseph, you've got your GPS turned on, and you were there before, right?
Yeah, I was there. And,
okay.
So
you'll be there, and we'll be there, and lots of other people. We were getting more RSVPs. I was showing Andy right as we were talking. More people were RSVPing for the meetup. But you don't have to find us online. Just come to Mocha Joe's at 3:30 this afternoon and help us decide how we're going to deal with the size crowd in the weeks to come on this thing, because it's growing really fast. Joseph, thank you so much. We'll see you in a little while.
All right, Henry, thank you. And Andy, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, we'll see you, Joseph. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to tell you off the air. I've actually been on the masternode list, and I'll tell you which one I want to get. And
I want Dash because of the clubs they go to during the parties.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. My spare is $600,000 is tied up at the moment, but I will clue you in on just a moment. Alex, we haven't had a coin of the week in a while. So what you got for us? How do you follow that anyway?
Okay. All right, so today we got Steam. This is a crypto company that you can touch, feel, use, and all that. So this is already a company. It's already working. I really like this because YouTube's kind of ripping everybody off and all that. So they came out with RedTube, and you could watch movies on there. It's so cool. You can even post stuff on there. I'm actually on the waiting list to post stuff and write articles. It's just like a trading view, like a Reddit, but I think it's 10 times better because it's only, I mean, I wouldn't say 10 times better than trading view, but I would say it's 10 times better than anything else on the internet to write stuff on because you can write on any topic. Cryptocurrency is my favorite articles to read on there. And you could also get paid for your articles. You can get paid for what you post. People throw you tips. Some people make their $1,000 an article.
Wow.
So and then if the coin goes up, you make even more money. You know, it's and the videos are so awesome. You can post videos on there and get paid for your videos too. YouTube takes all your money. You post a good video, all your talent.
Now, what kind of videos are we talking about there, Alex?
They have movies, bootleg movies. They have instructional videos, bad videos, good videos. I wouldn't say bad, but, you know, like not for kids, for kids. It's just like YouTube, same thing.
Okay, and how do you spell Steam?
It's S-T-E-E-M. There is two coins, though. I like both, but my favorite is the symbol, S-T-E-E-M. The other one is Steam Dollars. That's one you get paid in. You get paid in both, but I prefer the
what
Steam.
What is it trading at?
$3.50. Came out last year in April at around 50 cents. And the market cap is very low. It's only 800 million. This is at least a $10-20 billion market cap coin, if not more. I say 1 trillion. When the I know it's huge, but look at Google.
$1 trillion. That's bigger than Apple.
Okay, how big is YouTube? What is YouTube worth?
Not that much. Nowhere near that.
Google stock is what? Google's what?
Google's market about cap 500, 600 billion.
Yeah, and this is Steam. This is going to be
800 million now.
This is international.
And
yeah.
Google has search engines.
This can have a search engine.
And Waymo. You don't have Waymo.
I know Waymo is.
All right. Well, we will have to wait and see if Steam hits $1 trillion before this show dies.
You got to remember. This is international. You have 100 billion.
Trillion's a pretty big number.
But we're in an international community. If it doesn't hit a trillion, this
reminds me of Goldfinger. Remember when he went $1 million?
I'm saying $1 trillion.
All right, Hockey, what do you want to leave us with?
Well, I just can't forget the Goldfinger. What was that outfit you wear? You did Snapchat about the special
the gold speedo.
The gold speedo.
The gold speedo. That's right.
That's
I will
what
be
we'll
on
take
Steam. That's going to be that might take it to a trillion if I get on there and pose in that gold speedo.
Gold Steam ahead, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say this, Andy, you need to get on Steam it. Get paid a lot of money for the articles, man. You're good at what you do. The other people will love you on there.
In the meantime, go to SeekingCryptos.com
and
TradingView.com and catch up. And you got big happenings at SeekingCryptos.com.
Absolutely. We've added added Gillian Patrice out of Australia. She's a Forex trader and is trained at Forex Boot Camp and also writes movies in that as well. And then we have a special guest coming on who is international Forex trader. He will be posted up there. Mark and I actually had a great conversation with him, and we will be posting.
How much you
got
to pay for that stuff?
Actually, it's a collaborative. This is open
source. How much do we have to pay to come read it?
Nothing right now. Absolutely nothing right now. It is open source right now.
All right.
So.
Well, we will be back next week. One way or another, we have plans for maybe actually going on the road with the show next week.
Yep.
But one way or another, we'll be back with another Henry Rain show here at WWPR. And we'll see you at the meetup. Ben.
And let me see, can I just say shout out? Happy birthday, Melissa. I love you.
I work with Melissa. She's really good people. Very good person. A great server. Probably one of the best.
All right. Well, Melissa, if they're vouching for you, I know you must be great.
Demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates.